This Christmas, let's share the greatest gift ever given, Jesus Christ. Compassion International invites your church to join the Giving Tree Project, helping children in poverty overcome barriers and discover hope in Christ. With a Giving Tree kit, your congregation can provide life-changing resources like food, clean water, and sustainable income to families in need. Visit compassion.com/familygoals today to order your free church kit and make this Christmas a season of hope and transformation. That's compassion.com/familygoals. Be the difference this Christmas.
Today on the Family Goals Podcast with Davey Pollock and Pastor Jay, we're talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fiery furnace. You going to say anything?
Are we starting? Are we on? Are we live?
We're looking at our lineups.
I like it. Sorry, I was just literally over here doing my lineup.
Yeah, I need to get in a league with you.
I don't think you want that smoke,
you'd be
coach.
Like fodder.
I think you need to
easy pickings.
I think you need to continue to do what you're doing. You don't want to get in a league with people that know what they're doing.
Here's the most important question of all.
Okay.
Is can you get me to Augusta National to play golf?
No, absolutely not.
Can you get me to the Masters? Just to see
yes,
a tournament.
100%. I can do that. Can I can get you tickets next year, yeah.
Can we write this down?
We can write it down.
Could you take the first can the first lady have a ticket too?
Well, I didn't say I'd take the first lady.
All right, we'll just throw her to the curb as long as I'm in.
I was about to say, are you good with you going? I mean, golly,
good,
now you're getting
I'm
greedy.
Good with I'm going.
The problem is I think with my connection that I have to go. And I never have any desire to go.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know there's people that desire to go and all that stuff.
I do the lottery every year.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, and I haven't gotten it yet. And so.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm in. So I'm writing you down on that. I'm holding you to it.
We can make that happen.
Awesome. Who do you go with?
I don't know who I'm going to go with. We're going to have to figure that out.
But how are you getting tickets?
Well, I'll get you tickets. Don't you worry about that.
Okay. All right.
Don't ask me how. I'll get it done.
So you want to do a podcast or are you going to keep fooling with your fantasy
football
lineup?
Go ahead and start us off. I know it's going to be a worthless introduction. I was going to let you do that, and then I'll go here and get my fantasy football lineup. Got to pick up somebody real quick.
Well, I thought we've been doing a series at church called Thriving in Babylon. We've been studying through the book of Daniel. Some of the messages have been a little more challenging than others when I'm having to interpret the vision of the four beasts and other things, but those
can be very difficult, by the way. Yeah, those when you go through those, I'm not gonna lie, I think it was last Sunday, I think, when you started to go through it, I was like, all right, like I looked at my baby doll and I was like, I'm gone, like I'm out. I'm already out, like I can't. Yeah, those definitely can be hard.
But what one of the greatest stories in the book of Daniel is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go. So the story of the fiery furnace, King Nebuchadnezzar builds a 90-foot-tall statue of himself made of gold, 9 feet wide. And if you don't bow down and worship him, then you're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they don't bow down. And so my first point of the message was don't bow down to other gods. In fact, it's the first commandment is you shall have no other gods
before me.
But me. So what do you think are some modern day gods?
As I look at my fantasy football roster on my phone.
What do you think are some idols that we worship? And we may not even realize that we worship these idols.
This is making me cell phone right away.
Okay. Yeah.
I think people bow down to their cell phone every day, literally. Like you literally bow down to it when you're holding it.
If it sends a message, you're going right
If it vibrates, you attend to it.
I'm gonna flip
you
mine
touch
over.
It. Yeah, you touch it 30 times a day. Like it's. I think a cell phone. Like you scroll for a couple hours. Like if you look at your FaceTime every week, and you got a couple hours of social media a day, like you're doing something wrong. Like if that's not your job, and that's has nothing to do with your job, and you're on there a lot like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's definitely something. Sports.
Yeah,
I think sports. I mean, in my household, I would say that can be at times. Like,
sure.
And there's football every night nowadays, which is fantastic. But, you know, you come home from a football game with everybody and, you know, on a Thursday night JV game, we just all went to the game as a family. Well, you come in, Thursday night football's on. Like, oh, man, let's watch Thursday night football. Mm-hmm. And so I think sports on Sundays and travel ball on weekends. And we've talked about that ad nauseum on this podcast. So I think those are things off the top of my head that come.
Yeah.
What about you? What'd you have? I know you got a list of 30 over there.
I had not worshiping a king or a celebrity, not worshiping money. I think some money people are, money can become an idol or a god, or the things that money
gets you,
you know, the temporary
power, things,
material
stuff,
things, yeah. Fame, popularity, all of those things. And then the second point was to worship God in our daily actions. And I think a lot of times, of course, we worship God at church, but whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Like, you can worship God day in and day out. You know, work as if you're working for the Lord, not for man. I mean, you're good at that, like worshiping God with your diet and exercise and health. And
I think it's hard. Like I was going last night to a meeting. I was meeting with a couple of kids from Appalachia. You know, they've obviously had some stuff going on there. And it was about an hour and a half before the meeting. And it was the first time that I had stopped and prayed about the meeting that I was about to go do. And I was like, I should have done this earlier. You know what I'm saying? Like, I should have slowed myself down. I should have given myself a week of like, God, what do you want me to do? And I was like, Lord, I'm thankful that I did it before, because there was a time in my life where I wouldn't have done it at all. And I would have just gone to the next meeting. But I'm like, you know, speak through me. And so I think,
kind of seeking to him, like, what do you want me
to say? Yeah,
that could really encourage.
Yeah, direct my words, man. Yeah. I don't want this to be like, I don't want it to be me. Mm-hmm. I want you to like, what is the sweet spot where they've got in their heart that I need to hit and like really help and
what
nurture?
What did you share with them?
It was really cool, man. I mean, everybody who's listened to this a lot have heard it, but I just talked about difficult things happening and how God has used those difficult things in my life for his good and for his glory. And, you know, I don't understand it and I don't understand why, but just walking them through that. And then how much, you know, they're young kids. And I talked to them, I was like, I wish I had some faith like you guys have, because they have faith. And I said, you know, I when I was a senior in high school, I heard faith for the first time. And when I talk to kids, a lot of times I hear them talk and I can tell that they've been filtered what they've learned and what they've heard. And I'm like, I would encourage you very much to go do the research yourself. Like, I really wanted to know what the Gospels were, what that meant, like where when in time it was written. Like, I wanted to learn about Jesus and these miracles and who wrote these books. Why did they write it? Like, I wanted to know. I had a lot of whys that I needed answered. And then I told them some of the reasons that when I became a Christian, of the things that struck me. And then I told him about like Acts and how the church got started. I'm like, dude, you think about a lie that was told and you were part of it. And you were saying like, this is a lie, but like, yeah, like you're spreading it and you're a part of it. And somebody came to you like, all right, I'm going to kill you if you don't stop. I was like, what would you do? And they're like, I'd stop. Like, I would right away be like, yep, I lied. My bad. I was like, you think about how the apostles died? Like, you think about how all the people that were around Jesus that he showed himself to, they couldn't lie because they knew that was the truth, and they suffered gruesome deaths because of that. I was like, that gives me a lot of comfort. Like, and just talked about how you're going to have doubts in life. And
well, I think that's just so cool for those. I'm sure everyone knows about the school shooting at Appalachia High School, but I think it's awesome that they asked you to come speak and that you were able. Like, you need to let me know when you're doing that so I can be praying for you. And if you need some help, if you needed help with something, I could have helped you.
Well, I would have called Dr. Merritt. Boom, boom, picking up where we left off last podcast.
You got him on speed dial, huh?
No, but that's
it. Well, I know you did reach out to me last year with Jody's
oh,
situation.
Man. I called you right away. I had to. Yeah. Like, but I think those are... I think we need those people in our lives, man. Like, we got to have people that we really trust. And to me, it's always the people that have been through it. Mm-hmm. Like, people that have walked here and been here longer than me, that understand this world, that have been through, that have the scars, that have the mishaps, that have the hard battle. Like, you've been through so many of this stuff, man. Mm-hmm. Like, why would I not?
Yeah.
I mean, that would make sense to. And
well, I think it's great for the podcast listeners to know that you were speaking to the kids at Appalachia High School. I think that's encouraging. And I'm glad they reached out to you. I heard The Rock was there at their football game.
I asked him about The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. I was like, he was jacked, wasn't he? They're like, oh, yeah, he was jacked.
He is jacked. But they're also getting the good spiritual faith influence from you. So the third point was worship God publicly and corporately. And I shared all these verses about, and we talk about this all the time on the podcast, about the importance of coming to church. Now, I shared that we experience God's presence in three ways. I don't know if you remember this part from the message, but his omnipresence, that God is omnipresent, meaning he's
everywhere.
Everywhere. He's spirit. His indwelling presence, when we receive him, he comes into our life in the form of the Holy Spirit. But then we have the manifest presence of God. And this is where God shows up. Where two or three gather in his name, there is he in their midst. A lot of times people don't understand that. Well, isn't God always with us? But he is, but he shows up in a special way, like Moses on the mountain or Elijah in the cave or the burning bush. You know, he shows up in these special ways when we gather for worship and we're singing his name and exalting him. He shows up in his manifest presence. What are your thoughts on that, that God shows up in a special way?
I think you need to figure out what hits you the most too. Like for me, praise and worship is my thing. So like, I cry almost every Sunday. I just love praise and worship. And like when I sing in church, there's nothing better to me. So like just being around other believers.
It's different than just singing to your,
correct.
In the 100%. Truck with your
radio
going.
Yeah. It's a million times different. I feel the presence of God. Mm. Like I can feel it and it's really cool. And it's really unique. But I think people have different ways of getting to that point. Mm-hmm. And I think those are great examples. Like you can use different things and whatever it is, I think you need to find it. But I will argue this, man, when you're with fellow believers and you're in the right church and you have the right preacher, you're going to feel like God's speaking to you. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to feel like God is like, oh, I needed that message. Like that is exactly what I'm going through at this exact moment. I think that's how you'll know you're in the right church. Mm-hmm. And you got the right people around you. And so find your things that really touch you, that motivate you, that inspire you, and continue to do those things, man. Those are important.
And I think going to church on Sunday, one of my prayers is, God, show me at least one thing. Like I want to walk away from here something fresh, something new, some new revelation. And I think when you're preaching the word of God, God reveals himself, or when you're singing songs or you know, there might be a lyric in a particular song that I've never noticed before. Like we've sung the song 100 times.
And it's usually in the Bible.
But it's like, boom, yeah.
You're just like,
those are the best worship songs.
Yeah.
The ones that are based on scripture. But this is what I want to get to today, and kind of the title of this podcast is to develop an even if faith. And I think it's so important to have an even if faith. And I love what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say in Daniel chapter 3. They say, "Oh Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us." Like God is able to save us. God is able to do a miracle.
Is able to save. Doesn't mean will, but is.
There you go.
I like that. Yep.
He will rescue us from your power. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you that we're not going to serve your gods or worship your gold statue. like God is able to save. God is able to do a miracle, but even if he doesn't, we're going to still keep the faith. So say someone's battling cancer. Like we pray for people. We lay hands on people. We anoint them with oil. We're praying for a miracle. But even if he doesn't heal them, we're still going to keep the faith. We're still going to believe. Like God doesn't answer our prayers how we want them to be answered. And I can give you hundreds of stories of guys and girls, and we're trusting God for something. God doesn't answer the way we want. But even if it doesn't turn out the way we want it to turn out, we're going to keep the faith.
So how do you develop an even if faith?
I think a lot of it has to do with trusting God. Like recognizing that he is God, that we're not, that he's sovereign. He knows what's best. We talk a lot of times about that Romans 8:28, that all things are going to work together. We can't see it this side of heaven. There's so many questions I have when we get to heaven that like why a certain thing. Like there's still things that happen. I don't know why they happen, but it's not really our job to figure out the why. But I think trust. I think a lot of it boils down to faith, and I mean, I guess the answer is in the. In the statement, even if faith.
I think it's pretty cool that God also showed us miracles. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, I mean, he's shown us his power over and over again, and we do see miracles, and we do know that that's possible, but we also do realize that, like, that might not be the story, and that might not be what's going to happen for you, and man, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And as a believer, like, you know, when you lose somebody that you love, it's also extremely comforting to know that they had faith and they believed in where they are, mm-hmm. like, and they're not struggling anymore. And so sometimes when we have those people that, man, the wreckage that's left behind stinks and it's not fun and it's painful, but like they're not experiencing pain. They're in a better place and they're not the least bit worried about our place. Mm-hmm. Like they've gone on to way better things it's not even a thought like that they would want to come back. They wouldn't even entertain that thought. Yeah. It's like, well, I would never leave this place. Like, I'm in glory. So,
yeah, I've officiated 100 or so funerals, and the funerals where the person wasn't a Christian or wasn't a believer, and the people in the audience don't have hope. Ugh. You talk about a tough. But when the person was a Christian and their friends and family have faith, it truly is a celebration. That they're in a better place than us, but you ever go to a funeral where nothing's said about Jesus? I mean, like the pastor's the only one saying, like they're all telling the stories, you know. And it was kind of obvious that this person was
what kind of funeral do you want?
A believer. I wanted to be a worship service. Like you talking about, you like worshiping songs. Mm-hmm. Like I say, you get the Greystone band together. Let's pick out some of our favorite worship songs and let's just sing songs and celebrate and tell people about Jesus. And if there's anyone there who doesn't know Jesus, then I want them to know Jesus. Like, I don't want it to be about me.
Yeah. I don't want it to be sad either.
I want to be worship. I want to be fun. Like let's have some food. Let's have a party afterwards. And, let's
throw down. No need to cry. No tears.
Yeah, there's no need to cry. I mean, I'm ready to go to heaven. I mean, I'm ready to go home. Not that I have a death wish or anything, but man.
Does that happen in your 70s naturally? You just kind of start to like
maybe you're getting tired. Maybe I'm getting tired.
No, yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. I never used to feel that way. I'm like, I got so much to do down here. Like, yeah. I want to raise my kids. I want to do this. I want to do X. But I do think that there's some very, very, there's a lot of comfort knowing that it's going to be just fine. And if it's his time, it's his time. I'm going to be all right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of people are in, they do things as Christians for the reward or for the blessing. And I think an even if faith is whether you get blessed or not, whether you see the results.
I'm back. I'm coming right back.
Yeah, so like
I'll be right back.
We're called to share our faith. We're called to go and make disciples of all nations. And even if no one accepts Christ, even if no one comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus, we're still to share our faith. We're to pray. Like if
you don't know what the next opportunity will lead to.
Yeah, you never know the seed that you're planting.
Well, I think that's important what you just said, because even if you didn't get the response you wanted, you have no clue what the long-term impact is. Mm-hmm. Even if you didn't get the result you wanted in the moment, you have no clue what the long-term consequences / what you really got from that moment that lit a fire for something else. You know, like you never know. That's why I like the even if, because, you know, even if you strike out, you get back in the batter's box. You know, you go to hit again. I mean, those are sports analogies always come up every single time, but there should be power in knowing that nothing's wasted. There should be power in knowing that God's for you and he wants good things for you. even if it doesn't work out the way you wanted it to work out. And maybe your perspective needs to shift, and maybe it will be shifted because of that. So I think that's cool.
And ultimately, our reward's in heaven.
Yep.
Yeah, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful, you've been obedient, and maybe you didn't see the results here on earth. And sometimes you get to see the results, and you get to see these long-term impact. So I'll tell you,
which is fun and cool.
I'll tell you a cool story. So Jennifer started Good News Club again at Sheeran Elementary School. And then we were talking about it on Sunday, and so several people wanted to volunteer and get involved. And
oh, sweet.
And one of the people that volunteered was a girl named Kelsey Scoggins. And Kelsey, I believe she's in the ninth, I guess she's 10th grade now. But Kelsey, listen to this story. When Kelsey was in elementary school, Jennifer taught Good News Club at Grayson Elementary. Kelsey became a Christian like first or second grade. And she said, our family doesn't go to church. So Jennifer, you know Jennifer's Miss Assertive. So she goes out into the parking lot, the carpool line at school, picking the kids up from the Good News Club, tells Mandy Scoggins that Kelsey had become a Christian, invited her to start coming to church. She starts coming to church. Well, TJ, he's strung out on drugs. He's like, he's not even in the picture. And long story short, Mandy becomes a Christian. She starts bringing her two girls to church. The younger daughter becomes a Christian. They're coming without TJ. And Jennifer kept saying, hey, whether he comes or not, you come. You bring the kids. Eventually, he started coming. He accepted Christ. His whole life has changed. Now he leads our Celebrate Recovery. He's been 6 years sober, 6 years drug-free. And then yesterday, I've got a picture on my phone. Jennifer took a picture. Kelsey is now teaching the elementary kids about Jesus.
Full circle.
Full circle story. And this is...
That's dope.
Like 10 years later.
Yeah.
You know? That's cool. And so super, super cool. But who would have written that story 10 years ago? Pretty amazing stuff. Even if faith, and the last thing is God is in the fire with you. And I love this story because Nebuchadnezzar throws Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. And look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see four men unbound walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god. And of course, the fourth person is Jesus. And so I love that they got out of the fire. A hair wasn't singed.
Even though people were burning up while they were putting him in the fire.
Oh, yeah, like soldiers, you know.
Soldiers were dying, putting him in.
And so the
another big, worship song, there's another the big, in the fire.
There's that's another good, in the good, fire.
That's a good one.
So whatever fire you find yourself in, if you're a Christian, God's with you. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's always with us. The Lord is my helper. And so the application is trust God to help you. And I love this verse. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. That we shouldn't be afraid, that God is with us.
Always.
Yeah.
In every circumstance.
That verse. So I was, before Jennifer and I got married, I led a mission trip to Bangkok, Thailand.
Nice.
And I was responsible.
Been to Thailand. I feel like that'd be dope.
It's hot. There's three types of weather in Thailand: hot, hotter, and hottest.
When did you go? What time of the year was it? The hot?
So
or
it was summer. It was the hottest.
Okay.
And I dropped 20 pounds just being
on that trip.
On that trip.
How fat were you?
Good
Lord! If you dropped 20 pounds on a trip,
20 pounds, and that was a month. It was 9 weeks. It's a summer.
Okay.
A whole summer. A lot of it was muscle. Not fat.
is this where the sauna was birthed?
Well,
you realized
maybe.
It was really, really hot and you
maybe.
Could lose weight.
So our group, we were staying at John Kasim University there in Bangkok, Thailand, which by the way, we put together a basketball team.
Squad?
We beat their university team. Our squad beat their university team. Now, this is back in the day.
They must have been horrible. They must have been terrible.
I'm in my early 20s. You know what I'm saying? We had college players on the trip. We had two kids from Georgia College.
Okay.
That could hoop. There's a full-time missionary there.
So they carried
college basketball.
They carried you. Were they horrible, honestly? They had to have been terrible.
They were pretty bad.
They had to have been terrible.
We beat them. Our mission team beat their university team.
You said that three times. I heard you the first three times.
I was just reminded of it.
I know, but they had to have been horrible.
I can't remember, but we were dominant. They didn't have any big men.
If you can't see right now, if you're not watching, just to give you a visual, Pastor Jay has his hand at his shoulder. You are not tall enough to ride this ride.
6'2" shooting guard right here. I mean, we were towering over them.
Pastor Jay is not afraid to shoot it either.
I have never met a shot.
Isn't it a true story?
I never met a shot that I didn't like.
It is a true story that someone at the church said they would give you $10,000 for the offering plate if you did not shoot a shot for the game and you ruined that in the first like possession.
They said they were going to make a large donation to the church, not to me.
Correct.
And that's between them and God. But yeah, that only lasted 2 minutes. If I wouldn't shoot.
I mean, did you entertain the thought of not shooting?
No, I mean, like everyone has a role on a particular team. I was the scorer. That was my role.
I mean, I've played with you a bunch, but you were a lot older, obviously. And you're not bad, but like how bad was the team if you're the scorer?
Yeah, I don't think we were winning championships back then.
No, you definitely needed another in the fire.
And the person we're referring to was actually on the team, so obviously we weren't that good of a team. Our team's got better over the years.
Yeah, well, when you start recruiting, that's what happens.
Yeah. I do miss the old church basketball league. Are you playing basketball right now?
Not right now, no. Well, TJ quit the league last year.
Yeah.
That stunk. We were ready to rock and roll.
Yeah. Maybe we'll start it back again this year.
You gonna play?
We've totally.
You gonna play?
I might. I don't even know if I can get up and down the court. I need to get in shape. I need to get in some basketball. Basketball gets you in shape.
Basketball gets you in great
shape. It's way better than hitting the treadmill.
Do you want to land the plane though?
Do you want to land the plane? So
yeah, application. So the application, didn't totally just talk about nothing the whole time.
The application is to trust God to help you. And so the question is, where do you need God's help today? What fire do you find yourself in? And he is in the fire with you.
And I think you're going to find yourself in some fires that you put yourself in.
Yeah.
So I think that's important. Like if you keep finding yourself in the same fire, like let's change that a little bit. Like let's quit walking in the same fire. Those are things that you can control. Like there are some storms that are going to come, and that's fine. But
some people create their own fire.
Let's make sure we're not walking into a grill. We're not walking by a grill with gasoline all over our bodies. Okay, like let's not light ourselves on fire consistently. And if there's some areas that you keep screwing up, man, let's give that to God because He'll also meet those needs, and He can help you maybe get out of some situations before you get in them. And those are things that, you know, it's comforting to know that he's always going to be with us, but those are things too. Let's not do the self-imposed fires if we can help it.
Yeah. But if Nebuchadnezzar throws you in the fire, that's a whole nother story.
Yes, that is a little bit more difficult.